The Purpose of Parables, Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Placed between the parable of the sower and its explanation, there is a section of great importance in which we see the disciples asking Jesus why he taught in parables. This is an excellent question indeed. Why did the Lord Jesus teach in parables rather than using plain statements? We'll explore Jesus' answer to that question in this lesson. First, let's take a look at this passage, Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.'" I would like to draw your attention to verse 11, where Jesus says, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." The "you" refers to the 12 disciples and the larger group of believers, and the pronoun "them" refers to those who were not part of the disciples' circle. There's a question that we need to ask when we read a verse like this. Is this phrase a statement of intention or a statement of fact? It is important to distinguish these two kinds of statements. To you, it has been granted to know, but to them, it has not been granted. Is this a statement of intention or a statement of fact? In other words, is it God's intention to give the kingdom to some and not to others? Or is it a statement of fact that in fact the kingdom of God has been given to you because you have received it, and not to them because they have not received it? What do you think? Two verses later, Jesus says, "Therefore, I speak to them in parables." This is the reason why I speak to them in parables. And what is the reason? Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. That seems to be a very harsh and judgmental reason for speaking in parables. Mark's version is even more explicit. "To those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that, in order that, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. It seems that Jesus is saying, I speak in parables to them in order that they might not be able to comprehend the significance of my words. Here we can ask the same question. When Jesus taught in parables, did he want to conceal the truth, or did he want to reveal the message of salvation to man? What was his purpose? To hide salvation from the people, or to reveal the message of salvation? Logically, we would think that the purpose of the parables is to reveal something important, to reveal important spiritual truths concerning the kingdom of God. If Jesus wanted to hide the truth from those who are outside, why did he bother to speak to them in the first place? And yet, this passage seems to indicate that Jesus spoke forth the word of God to some in such a way that it was a word not of salvation, but in fact of judgment, so that they could not see nor understand. Salvation was there, but they could not perceive it. Only those who have been given the eyes to perceive and the ears to hear, that is, only those to whom God gave the capacity to understand, would understand. All the rest are deliberately blinded through the judgment of God. And there seems to be biblical evidence for this. Let me read to you John chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, which is also a quotation from Isaiah. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He, that is God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Notice this. In this passage, it is God who has blinded their eyes so that they shall not see. It is God who has hardened their heart so that they shall not perceive. It was the design of God that they should not be healed. Can this be what the Word of God means? Is that a correct interpretation of the Bible? Before we accept such conclusions, let's take a closer look at this passage. Both John chapter 12 verse 40 and Matthew chapter 13 verses 14 and 15 are quotations from the same passage in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. When we compare them, even superficially, we can see a significant difference. It is hard to believe that they refer to the same Old Testament passage. Strange, isn't it? If both are supposed to be quotations from Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 and 10, why are they so different? The explanation is quite simple. In Matthew chapter 13, the quotation follows word for word the Greek Old Testament, not the Hebrew Old Testament. It is the exact quotation of the Septuagint. In John chapter 12, on the other hand, the quotation comes directly from the Hebrew Old Testament. In that sense, John's passage is closer to the original. With this explanation in mind, you can now see that the Greek Old Testament does not correspond exactly to the Hebrew text. I think it is fair to say that the Greek Old Testament translators have softened the words of the Hebrew passage. Here is what I mean. The Greek Old Testament does not see that God hardened the heart of people and blinded their eyes. It simply says, you will hear, but you will not understand. You will see, but you will not perceive. And the reason for this is because your hearts have become dull. These are all statements of facts. Remember the question that I asked at the beginning of our lesson. Is this a statement of fact or a statement of intention? Well, here it is clearly a statement of fact. God didn't do any of these things. They have closed their eyes. The responsibility is put entirely upon the people of Israel. They are the ones who closed their eyes to God's truth. In John chapter 12, which is quoting from the Hebrew Old Testament, the hardening of people's hearts is spoken of as God's own act. It is God who, through Isaiah, is doing the action of blinding the eyes and hardening the hearts. Here, it is likely a statement of intention. It was God's intention to prevent people from hearing and seeing. Now, how should we make sense of all this? Let's put Isaiah chapter 6 in its context. Isaiah, this great prophet of God, had a vision of God's majesty, holiness, and glory. He responded to this vision with great humility, saying, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." It was after this incident that God appointed Isaiah to preach to the inhabitants of Judah. The Lord said to him, "Go and speak to these people. Make their heart fat," that is, slow of understanding, of spiritual understanding. "Close their eyes. Make their ears heavy so that they do not hear." Why did God say that? When you look at the first five chapters of Isaiah, you understand why. Because the people of Judah had already shut their eyes. They have already hardened their hearts. Most members of the nation had become insensitive to their need of cleansing from sin. Isaiah was told to take God's message to an obstinate nation that is facing judgment and exile for refusing to respond properly to God. That is the background to the Greek translation. Now put yourself in the shoes of Isaiah. Let's suppose that God gave you that command, "Go and make the heart of these people dull. Shut their eyes. Close their ears." What would you do? How are you going to obey God's instruction? Is it really possible to blind people's eyes? Look at Isaiah's response in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 11. "Lord, how long?" Three little words. Lord, how long? Isaiah wondered how long he would have to go on delivering a message of judgment to which the people would be callous. His question implies that he was going to preach to the nation and that he was ready to speak whatever God wanted him to say. So how do you shut people's ears and blind their eyes? It's quite simple. Isaiah went and proclaimed the truth. That's all that he needed to do. You see, the truth will do one of these two things in every person's life. The truth will either open your eyes or it will blind your eyes. The truth of God will either open your ears or it will shut your ears. The truth of God will either make you alive or it will kill you. When the word of God is preached, some are going to shut their ears and some are going to open their hearts. Some people are going to live and some people are going to die. When Isaiah preached to the stiff-necked and rebellious people of Judah, he didn't have to do anything special to shut their ears and their eyes. He just had to preach the truth and they will resist it. The people had not listened before and they would not listen to Isaiah now. In fact, on hearing Isaiah's message, the people would become even more hardened against the Lord. Once we understand this, we understand by what means God can blind the people. You just speak the truth. That's all that you have to do. Do you see now how John chapter 12 verse 40 sounds quite different from when we first read it? Sometimes verses in the scriptures seem to mean one thing at first sight, but when you examine them, it turns out that they mean something quite different. The expression, "Go, make the heart of these people fat and shut their ears," do not refer to a direct act of God in blinding the mind. Isaiah was to go and proclaim the truth, and the result will be, owing to the hardness of your heart, that your eyes will be blinded and your hearts hardened. The effect of the truth on such people will be to irritate and harden their minds. As time progresses, their minds will become more and more impenetrable, gradually making belief impossible. It is in that sense that God's commanding Isaiah to preach the message was the same in effect as if he had commanded the prophet to blind their eyes and harden their hearts. Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 and 10 describes Israel's failure to respond to the prophet's message. Jesus regarded himself as parallel to the rejection of Isaiah and his message. He says in Matthew chapter 13 verse 14, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." In quoting this passage, Jesus wanted to explain that Israel in his day could not believe because they would not believe. God evidently knew that Isaiah's mission would not be successful. Why then did he ask Isaiah to speak to the people? Here we see the wonderful love of God. Even though the Lord knew that Judah would not receive the message of judgment, he still sent forth Isaiah because he was not willing that anyone should perish. That was the reason. And so, to the question, "How long, Lord?" God answered that Isaiah was to proclaim the message until the judgment came. At the end of the book of Isaiah, we find these beautiful words which speak of God's patience. "I have stretched out my hands all day long. All day long I have spread out my hands to a stiff-necked and rebellious nation. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. Why bother caring for people who don't want to listen? Because God desires their salvation, not their condemnation. God does not delight in judging the sinner. He does not want anyone to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Many times in the history of Israel, God sent prophets to His people even though they did not want to hear His word. That is the main message of the Lord Jesus in the parable of the tenants. The landlord sent a servant to collect the fruits on his vineyard. But the tenants, instead of welcoming him, beat him. Then the landlord sent another servant. The tenants killed him. As a last resort, the owner sent his son, and he was killed too. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, and you were not willing. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I was not willing that you should perish. I wanted to gather you under my wing, to care for you, but you did not want to. There is one thing that can stop God from exercising His saving grace: when the sinner does not want the love of God. We are now in a better position to deal with our initial question. When the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, was His intention to conceal the truth, or was it to reveal it? Can you imagine a situation in which Jesus preached to the crowd with the deliberate intention that they should not understand? If He didn't want people to know something, it would have been more sensible if He didn't say anything to them. But that was not what Jesus had in mind. He used the parables precisely with the intention that the hearers should understand. We can say that a parable is more or less an illustration. It is a special kind of illustration which puts a divine truth into the picture of that illustration. Now, when we use an illustration, what do we want to achieve? Do we use an illustration in order to conceal what we want to say, or do we use it in order to clarify what we want to communicate? Put it this way, the answer is of course very plain. We use an illustration to help a person to understand, and not the reverse. When the Lord Jesus uses a parable, He is simply teaching with an illustration. And the illustration is there to help us to understand. Or, to use the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 12, "If I speak to you earthly things, things that are obvious to the senses, and you don't understand, and you don't believe, how are you going to understand if I speak to you spiritual things, things which are removed from human view?" These words addressed to Nicodemus illustrate the point of a parable. Jesus knows that our ability to understand spiritual things is very limited. Therefore, He speaks to us using earthly pictures. If I speak to you spiritual things, you wouldn't be able to understand. So what do? I speak to you in earthly pictures. If you can understand the earthly picture, you will understand by extension what I'm saying to you at the spiritual level. But if you cannot even understand the earthly picture,
How are you going to understand the spiritual things that I'm trying to explain to you in plain language? You wouldn't grasp what I'm saying. Jesus wants us to understand. He brings the truth to us in terms of birds, of flowers, of sunshine, of things which we are familiar, so that we can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's what he was doing when he told the parable of the sower. He came to this multitude of people, most of them farmers, and he spoke to them at their level. He told them a story about a farmer who was sowing his plot of ground. As they thought about the story, they gradually got a message. They began to see some aspects of the kingdom of heaven. That is the whole purpose of a parable. But some people don't get the message. Though hearing the word of God, they do not hear, nor do they understand. They have shut their eyes, and therefore their spiritual response to the truth of God is dull. As we mentioned when we examined the passage in Isaiah chapter 6, it is the people who make themselves insensitive to the word of God. Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. The gospel is not hidden. When Paul went out to preach the gospel, it was not with the intention to conceal the truth. He did everything that he could to set forth the truth plainly. It is true that some do not perceive the beauty of the gospel and regard it as foolishness. If they do not understand, if the truth is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. The veiling, where it exists, comes from the unbelief of those who are perishing, whose eyes have been blinded by Satan. The devil blinds a person's mind by appealing to his flesh. When Satan gets a person to focus his life upon himself and the world, that person becomes enslaved to his flesh and to the things of this world. In this way, Satan can prevent the message of the gospel from taking root in the heart of a person. Isn't that what Jesus says in the parable of the sower? The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Notice also that in the parable of the sower, how well the seed grows depends upon the ground, not on the seed. If the seed does not grow well, or does not grow at all, it is because of the soil, that is, the heart of the hearer. God does not purposely conceal the meaning of his message to anyone. God wants us to understand it. He tells us the truth as clearly as possible, if necessary, by illustrations, which is what the Lord Jesus does when he speaks in parables. If the message is not understood, the fault is not in the word of God. It is as a result of the hardness of man's heart. Man does not understand because he has shut his eyes and chosen not to see. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, Jesus says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Blessed are your eyes.
Who is the Lord Jesus speaking to?
He's speaking to his disciples, those who have believed and yielded their lives to him. If today you have committed yourself fully to Christ as the disciples did, then indeed, blessed are you, because now your eyes can see. You can rejoice in the fact that God has poured out his love in your heart and caused the Holy Spirit to renew your soul.